Good morning, church. Today I accepted the awesome responsibility to speak to you, Word of God. So I pray that the Lord will guide me through. Recently, I came across a rather interesting comment in a book called Passing on the Torch by Roger Dudley. This is what it said. Research on religion and prejudice indicate that religious people care mainly about their own personal salvation and receiving, quote, the blessings of the Lord, unquote, in this life, but are largely unconcerned about the plight of others. Think about it. They tend to look down on sinners who are beneath them. But can that be true? Can it be true? Think about it. Today, I am here to showcase our community services department group. And our mission is to demonstrate the love of Christ through service to the less fortunate. No matter what the research says, I know there are many who have been blessed by the presence of a loving God demonstrated to the lives of his followers. Our theme today is, as we see here, reaching out in loving service. My message is focused on service. It's a challenge to us to get involved in service. Let us pray. Loving Lord Jesus, please help me as I speak today. Help me to speak with clarity that your word may be received and acted upon, and lives will be changed. We will all get to love you better and to serve you more faithfully. Amen. Amen. In our pledge, we have promised to follow the example of Jesus, to be kind and merciful to all in need, so that the name of Jesus may be glorified in our community. In order to accomplish joyful and loving service, we must look at the life of Jesus Christ, our perfect example. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 5. We look at verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Here we are admonished to follow God as dear children, to be obedient to all his requirements, walking in love as Christ also has loved us. Love was the element in which Christ moved and walked and worked. He came to embrace the world in the arms of his love. So then, we must learn from the beautiful example of ministry and service to others which Christ has left us. He went from house to house healing sick people. He spoke words of comfort and peace to those who were distressed and troubled. He took children in his arms and blessed them. Yes, Jesus ministered to the poor and needy while here on earth. He met their physical and spiritual needs with compassion. So, if we are to follow the example of Jesus, who then should be the target of our service? To whom should we minister? To guide us in this matter, we must look at the question, who is my neighbor? Now, whom should we regard as neighbor? This question Jesus answered for us nicely in the passage that we read this morning for our scripture reading in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Jesus was asked this question by a lawyer. And in order to answer the question, Jesus told the story of a man who was badly beaten and left to die by the roadside. A priest and a Levite passed him there and went their way. We all know the story very well, and we know that the person who helped was a Samaritan. So this story has become famous as the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus clearly showed that our neighbor does not mean the person who lives next door or one of the same faith or church to which we belong. It does not even refer to color, race, or class. Our neighbor is every person who needs our help. Amen. Our neighbor is every soul who is wounded and bruised by the adversary. Our neighbor is everyone who is the property of God. Amen. Now, you may ask, does that include the person who is bothering me? The person who doesn't get along with me? Whenever I see this person, something boils inside of me. I hate to see this person. I wouldn't even want to say this person is called an enemy. But we know in reality, in real life, we do have some of these people to deal with. Now, how should we handle them? How should we deal with them? Should we reach out to them in love? Yes. Let's go to the Bible and see what the Bible says. Let's turn to Romans 12, verses 20 and 21. Romans 12, verses 20 and 21. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. This is the word of God, and we can't go wrong if we follow God's word. So let us endeavor to reach out to all in need. Who then is called to serve? All who accept Christ as personal Savior are called to serve as part of our Christian duty. Love must be the motive for our deeds. If we have the love of God in our hearts, we can never be indifferent to the needs around us. We will see the hungry, the sick, the lonely, and the lost. Just as the Samaritan risked his life to assist the wounded man, so Jesus, because of love, gave his life for us and died to rescue us from Satan's bruises and attacks. In his last meeting with his disciples, Jesus expressed his great desire for them that they love one another just as he had loved them. This we find in John 13, verse 34. What then should be our example? We must walk as Christ walked. We must walk in humility. Let us look at the servanthood of Jesus. On the last night with his disciples, Jesus demonstrated real humility and love when he girded himself with a towel and washed the feet of his disciples. This is in keeping with what Mark says of him in his gospel in chapter 10, verse 45. It says, "Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." So Christ's life was really a life of servanthood, a life of ministry. And this is how we ought to walk also. Amen. Jesus showed his disciples that loving service and humility constitute real greatness. The world has this principle turned upside down, but not so in God's kingdom. This is what Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 43. In the New King James Version, it says, "Whoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant." Amen. Thus, we can conclude that the only greatness that counts is the greatness of humility. Amen. So we see that distinction is found in serving others. Now, can we find joy in serving others? We know that some people serve, but they look tired and they don't feel happy about doing it. Now, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." We must make our work pleasant with songs of praise. We must have a passion for souls in need. We must make a commitment to invest time in doing what God wants us to do here on earth. We must make service a way of life, not a burden, nor just an occasional duty. Honor and glory to God must be the goal of our actions. We must let our daily prayer be, "Lord, show me what to do today. Help me to do my best. Give me energy and cheerfulness. Help me to bring into my service the loving ministry of the Savior." And we know that we will be guided by God as we keep in touch with Him. What kind of commitment is in our service? Would we be missed if for some reason we had to move from our community? What sort of influence do we have in our community? Think about it. In the book of Acts, there is an account of the life and ministry of a dear lady called Dorcas, who lived at Joppa, whose good deeds made her greatly beloved. She was a worthy disciple of Jesus, and her life truly demonstrated great acts of kindness. She knew who needed comfortable clothing, who needed sympathy, and she freely ministered to all in need. But one day, she got sick, and she died. The church in Joppa realized their loss, so they quickly sent for the Apostle Peter to pray for her to be restored to life. When Peter came, he was so touched with sympathy. He was moved at the atmosphere at the home of Dorcas. There were widows there weeping without control and showing off the garments which she made when she was alive. Thankfully, God saw it fit to bring her back to life after Peter prayed fervently so that her life would still be a blessing to others. As we humbly serve, forgetting self, making the good of others our chief concern, we should experience that joy which comes from knowing that through us, someone is receiving a blessing. Amen. The secret of our inner beauty lies in a heart full of goodness, kindness, and love for God and others. I would like to share a story, which is an old legend found in our devotional for juniors. Once there were three girls who were always quarreling about whose hand was the most beautiful. The first girl dipped her hands in clear, sparkling water of a running brook and said, "See how beautiful my hands are? My hands are the most beautiful." The second girl gathered berries till her hands were pink, just as though an artist had painted them. She said, "See how pink my hands are? My hands are the most beautiful." The third girl walked among flowers and picked the roses till her hands smelled like perfume. "See how fragrant my hands are," she said. "My hands are the most beautiful." Now, there was another girl who didn't quarrel with them. She didn't argue with them because she didn't even think that her hands were beautiful. But one day, an old lady who looked like a beggar came along and asked the girls for something to eat. The three girls who were always quarreling about their hands, they put their hands behind their backs and they said, "We have nothing to give you." But the fourth girl ran into the house, gave the old lady a chair, and brought her some bread and some milk. When she was finished eating, she turned to the girls and said, "It is not the hands that are dipped in the brook, nor the hands that are painted with berries, nor the hands that are fragrant with perfume that are the most beautiful, but the hands that give to the poor." Amen. This story may only be a legend, but what the angel said is true. In Christ's object lesson, Ellen White says, "Loving ministry will break down prejudice and win souls to God." Amen. There are many in need who do not yet know Christ. And as they see such unselfish love demonstrated, it will make it easier for them to believe in the love of Christ as we witness to them. Our ministry must demonstrate loving kindness. You may ask, how can we demonstrate loving kindness? A teacher once asked his class to define loving kindness. A small boy raised his hand and jumped up, and this is what he said. "Well, if I was hungry and someone gave me a piece of bread to eat, that's kindness. But if you were to spread some jam on it, that would be loving kindness." Yes, we must go that extra mile. It will bring joy when we know that we have done our best to assist someone in need. Our service must be diligent, faithful, and unselfish. We must not miss out on our opportunities for service, as did the priest and the Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan. We must never look down on anyone in need and think that it will be lowering to our dignity to assist. Whether it is pleasing or unpleasing, we are to do the duty that lies in our pathway. Amen. The little girl whose story is found in 2 Kings chapter 5 saw a great opportunity to witness to her master and took hold of it. Even though she was taken captive from her homeland and brought to Naaman's household in Syria as a slave, she was able to serve there by witnessing to her master about the power of the true God. Amen. This is the God who cured Naaman of his dreaded disease. Just imagine the joy she felt by allowing herself to be used to accomplish this tremendous act of service. We must not look for some grand opportunity for publicity as our reason for serving. We must not serve because we are looking for a reward. We may never receive any reward on earth, but that should not prevent us from serving. It is the love of Christ which motivates us. Many feel it would be a great privilege to visit the scenes of Christ's life on earth, just to walk where Jesus walked. We need not go to Nazareth, Capernaum, or Bethlehem in order to walk in the steps of Jesus. We can find his footprints right here in Nevis, beside the sick bed, in the nursing homes, among the poor and hungry, and in every place where there are human hearts in need of consolation. In doing as Jesus did while on earth, we shall walk in his steps. Therefore, in looking for great things to do, do not neglect the opportunities that come to us day by day. In an awesome passage in Matthew 25, 31 to 46, can you please take your Bibles and look with me? Please, we will read it together. Jesus describes the final judgment. Let us look at Matthew 25, and we will read verses 31 to 46 together, please. Matthew 25, verses 31. Let's start at verse 31. Together. And he shall... When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from one another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and he gave me meat. I was hungry, I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Let's go on to the end, please. Yeah. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and he gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and he took me not in. Naked, and he clothed me not. Sick, and in prison. Then shall he answer
him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?
Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And ye shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Amen. This is the word of Jesus. He describes the final judgment as separating people on the basis of what they had done in his name for the hungry, the thirsty, the outcast, the ill-clothed, the sick, and the prisoner. Here, Jesus identified with the less fortunate. He identified two classes, as we saw in the reading. And he indicates that our eternal destiny will be determined by what we have done or neglected to do for him in the person of the poor and the suffering. Think about it. Solemn words. We must not miss the point. Jesus is here saying that every deed of kindness done to uplift a fallen soul, every act of mercy is accepted as done to him. Amen. Today we are not only celebrating Community Services Day, but we know that there are fathers here who I think came to church expecting to hear a Father's Day sermon. So I would just like to share a thought, especially for fathers. You know, at this time of the year, we listen to a lot of admonition, a lot of preaching, a lot of kind words directed just to fathers. But I think that we should not just wait for a special occasion. This is something which should be ongoing. Like yesterday, I was hearing a preacher, and he was talking about those fathers who joined the, the CE group. These fathers joined the CE group because they think it is holy. So what is the CE group? He said, these people who only came to church at Christmas and Easter. They thought it was holy, so they only went at these times. And so I want to encourage our fathers not to belong to this CE group. Fathers have a great responsibility, an awesome responsibility. They have to represent Jesus to their families. And I think it is the best thing for them to accept Jesus in their lives. The way things are going, your children need to see good role models in you. We are losing so many young boys to gun violence that in our homes, we need to have family worship, fathers worshiping with their children. And the best place to be is a church. Raise your children knowing the Lord. Don't just send them to church. Come to church with them. Help them to see a good role model in you. Because somewhere down the road, when they get old and they're tempted to go astray, they will remember what they learned at church. And so I want to encourage fathers to be good role models to their parents. Christ had so much love for us. To their children. Christ demonstrated the way that we should walk, and we must be good fathers to our children, and don't let our children feel disappointed in us. Because the Bible says, honor your father and mother. It didn't say honor the good fathers, honor all fathers. So we must not let our children feel disappointed in us. Okay. Finally, what benefit can be derived from service? The best way to get over loneliness, grief, and depression is to find the joy of service through helping others. As we meet others who are experiencing similar difficulties, we ourselves are helped. And I will now relate an old Chinese tale to demonstrate this point. A woman, full of grief because her only son had died, went to a holy man and asked what prayers or magical incantations he had to bring her son back to life. Instead of sending the woman away or even reasoning with her, he told her to bring him a mustard seed from a home that had never known sorrow. He would use it to drive the sorrow out of her life. She went first to a grand mansion, knocked on the door, and told him why she was there. She was looking for this magic mustard seed, and it was very important to her. So she asked, is this such a place? It's important to me. They told her she had come to the wrong place. When they began to list all the terrible tragedies that had happened to them recently, as the woman listened, she thought to herself, who is better able to help these poor, unfortunate people than I who have had misfortune of my own? You know what she did? The bereaved mother stayed there and comforted the family members in the mansion. Then she went out in search of her magic mustard seed. But wherever she went, in huts or palaces, she found experiences of sadness and misfortune. So finally she got the message. She became so involved in ministering to other people's grief that she forgot about her quest for the magic mustard seed. You see, ministering to other people's grief had in fact driven the sorrow out of her life. And so, Jesus wants us to follow his example. He did just that. What can we do? We can offer a word of comfort to encourage hope and to build faith. We can pray for persons who have lost loved ones. And there are times when we have to reach out to others, not only spiritually, but we may have to assist with our own means. There may be needs that we have to help to address materially. So with God's help, we should be able to achieve this. Today, we are celebrating. We have been dressed up in our green, not because we want to show off, but we want to give thanks to God, and we want to recommit our lives to his service. We want you to know about us. And at the same time, we want to give you an opportunity to become a part of this noble instrument of service. We invite you to join us so that through the grace of Christ, we may accomplish all that God requires as we carry the gospel through service to our community. Amen. I would just like to read a gem for the closing. Found in Testimonies, Volume 6, page 264. People are watching and weighing those who claim to believe the special truths for this time. They are watching to see wherein their life and conduct represent Christ. By humbly and earnestly engaging in the work of doing good to all, God's people will exert an influence that will tell in every town and city where the truth has entered. If all who know the truth will take hold of this work as opportunities are presented, day by day, doing little acts of love in the neighborhood where they live, Christ will be manifest to their neighbors. The gospel will be revealed as a living power and not as cunningly devised fables or idle speculations. It will be revealed as a reality, not the result of imagination or enthusiasm. This will be of more consequence than sermons or professions or creeds. Amen. 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 You, friends, Jesus wants us to be his hands and his feet to reach out in loving service to others. How many of you are willing to be a part of this great ministry? If this is your desire, kindly stand with me. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that hearts are blessed and that we have all been stirred to action, to be involved in loving ministry, so that your love can be seen and felt in others, and hearts will be blessed, and lives will be changed, and that they will get to know you and serve you better. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.